we are watching the situation at the airport in Hong Kong, where another day of mass protests has led to chaos and clashes with the police. We're also learning more about what happened in Russia, where there have been funerals for five nuclear engineers who were killed while testing a nuclear missile last week. The missile exploded Thursday at a test site in northern Russia, causing a spike in radiation in the area and days of uncertainty as Russia kept changing its story about the accident. And experts in the U.S. tried to figure out what happened. Let's bring in Here and Now security analyst Jim Walsh. He's with MIT's Security Studies Program. Hi, Jim.
How you doing?
Doing well. So first of all, the Russian response to this explosion seems eerily familiar to the Soviet Union's effort to cover up Chernobyl back in 1986 after that accident. That, of course, was a much bigger explosion. But what do we know about what happened last Thursday?
Well, we're piecing it together, and we got a little more data in the last couple of days. And when the Norwegians check their radiation sniffers, we'll have even more data beyond that. But it is apparent that the Russians are testing an engine that would be essentially strapping a small nuclear reactor, nuclear power reactor, to a missile. Now, if you think that having a missile with a warhead on it and then strapping a reactor to it is a bad idea, you are correct. It's one that the U.S. played with in the late 50s and the 1960s, and we decided to abandon it because, you know, just at the sort of common sense level, it doesn't make sense to build a flying nuclear reactor.
And the idea is that this missile that they're trying to build could get basically anywhere on Earth.
Exactly. So there are two big different types of missiles. There's a ballistic missile and there's a cruise missile. So the ballistic missile, the one we're sort of familiar with, you lob into the air and it, you know, goes up into space and it hits its peak and it comes down. Pretty easy to track with satellites. The other kind of missile is a cruise missile that flies sort of like an airplane, except it's a rocket. It flies flat, low to the ground, much more difficult to intercept, much more difficult to track. So their idea is, if we build this, no matter what our missile defense is, we won't be able to stop it, and so that will enhance deterrence. This is the Russian view.
Now, as the U.S. looks at this, what's going on in the minds of people in Washington? I mean, are they worried about what Russia just did?
I think most people aren't, because they see it as having a really high level of technical obstacle to overcome. And I'm guessing that some people think if they want to waste their money on something that isn't going to work, fine by them, keep doing it. But it shows a certain level of desperation, and it shows a Russian interest in developing new weapons. And so for this particular technology, probably not worried so much. But if we stand back and look at the big picture, what is the big picture? The intermediate range nuclear treaty, that's gone.
That's the INF treaty.
The INF treaty,
just went away.
Exactly, that's gone. In another couple of less than 2 years, the New START treaty, that the last remaining major treaty that puts limits on nuclear weapons for the U.S. and Russia, that could be gone. I would say that doesn't look good right now. Maybe it'll turn around, but it doesn't look good. So we're in a context in which decades of rules and institutions built to protect us are falling away. Mm-hmm. Both sides are working on new missiles. And yes, there are a lot of important issues in the world. You know, climate change is important. Bigotry and violence are important. But there's one and only one thing that can destroy the United States today, and that's a nuclear war. And we all sort of put that in our pocket after the end of the Cold War and moved on with our lives. This is a little reminder, hey, the nuclear weapons are still here. We may be building more. We need to pay attention.
And what are the rules about testing, by the way? Are countries allowed to do what Russia just did? Because I know that there's even concern in a nearby town where this accident happened that the radiation levels could be high.
Yeah, there's no limits on testing this sort of thing. Now, what we do have for limits is testing on nuclear weapons. There's a treaty banning above-ground nuclear tests, and then there's the Comprehensive Test Ban Treaty that severely limits the nuclear testing you can do. And the idea is if you limit the testing, you limit the weapons. But even recently, within the last month, the Russians have accused the U.S. of starting to think about walking back even on the ban on nuclear testing. And that would blow a hole in the nuclear regime as big as this building.
Now, meanwhile, Jim, as we're watching what's happening with Russia, a topic that we talk to you a lot about is North Korea, and they've been testing more missiles even after the two summits with President Trump. And now President Trump said over the weekend that he received another very beautiful letter from Kim Jong-un offering to resume nuclear talks. What's going on there?
I think several months ago, it was little noticed, but many months ago, Chairman Kim warned the U.S., if we don't make progress here, we're going to resume long-range missile and nuclear testing. And so I see these tests both as ways to advance their missile capability, but of equal importance as a political message. Listen, I've got these weapons here. I'm going to go back to testing unless you do what, you know, I want you to do. And so nothing happens and nothing happens.
Which is what? Just remove all sanctions on North Korea?
Yeah, I think – so right now we've had more or less a freeze on big military exercises. But the chief objective of the North Koreans is to get sanctions relief.
That is Jim Walsh here now, security analyst with the MIT Security Studies Program. Jim, thanks as always.
Thank you.